Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Barbara P. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, February 2nd. This is the 10 a.m. meeting, 10 a.m. Eastern. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 17, the first paragraph, starting with We of Alcoholics Anonymous and ending with They Have Solved the Drink Problem. Today's readers are Christine M. reading our 12 steps, Lou Ann C., our 12 traditions, Lisa N. will be our first reader reading the text, Robin B. will be closing out the text, Ann S. C. is our backup, Alex K. is going to be our newcomer reader, and Shelley E. will be doing announcements. Thanks to all on the Monday team. The reference numbers for Sunday, our special edition, was 23,172. And Monday, today's 7 a.m. meeting, 23,175. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Christine M., would you read the steps for us?
Yes, thank you so much. My name is Christine M., compulsive overeater from Missouri. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood it. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me serve.
Thanks so much, Christine M. from Missouri. Lou Ann C., would you step up and read the 12 traditions for us?
Thank you, Barbara. Good morning, everyone. I'm Lou Ann C. I'm so grateful to be recovered in Boise, Idaho today. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, great. Thanks so much, Lillian C. from Idaho. Let's see. Hang on. So how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic, so everyone is welcome to share. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 17, first paragraph, beginning with We of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'd like to ask Lisa N. from Wisconsin to get us started.
Thank you so much, Barbara, for moderating today. Good morning, everybody. I'm on page 17, chapter 2, There is a Solution. We of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands of men and women who were once just as hopeless as Bill. Nearly all have recovered. They have solved the drink problem. So that's a very interesting paragraph because it's talking about a large group of men and women for that time. Now, we know it's how many thousands. I mean, sometimes I go on the Vision for You members list, and it's like thousands and thousands of just OA people. So we know that there are so many more people now today than what was then, what was when it was first started. The program was first started with Alcoholics Anonymous. And what we heard in the beginning of the meeting was a list of steps. Now, we haven't read that yet in the Big Book. We haven't gotten that far. It's on page 59. But what we heard in the beginning of the meeting was a list of the steps and what people did, what people needed to do in order to become recovered. And if you are like me, when I first came to OA, I did not want to lose. I just wanted to lose weight. I didn't know what it was going to be about. I didn't want to be fat anymore. And so I needed to do what people told me. I needed to do what the program said, but I wasn't willing. And these people clearly were willing. And so the ones that recovered were the willing ones, is how I compare them to myself. Because for the first 2 years that I did OA, I was not willing to read the literature, to call people, to reach out, to work with a sponsor even. I worked with sponsors, and they didn't like me because I didn't do what they said. So I had to have what I call the gift of desperation. And somehow I got that. It truly was a gift, and I believe it was from my higher power. and it was the gift, the feeling that I wasn't ever going to be able to lose weight on my own. I was going to have to do what somebody told me. And so that's what these people did to solve their drink problem. They did what they were told. And if you're new and you are like I was and you don't really feel like doing what people tell you, I get it. But it's not what works, trust me. Because when I started doing what I was told, it was a 30-day turnaround. And I was not overeating. I was not thinking constantly about what I was going to eat. It was already becoming a miracle. So I hope that for all of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Lisa N., for kicking us off and getting us started. So we will now proceed with members sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share? And everyone is welcome, and I'll take a list of names.
Elena C.
Rachel CV.
Elena. Elena. Paul R. Rachel. Was that Paul R?
Paul R, California, yes. Good morning.
Mm-hmm. Got you. Elena, Rachel, Paul.
Christina J.
Christina.
South Carolina. Elena C. from South Carolina.
Got you.
Deborah G., Arizona.
Deborah. All right. Well, let's get started with that list, and we'll have plenty of time. I didn't catch all the initials and all the clicks. Oh, I'm sorry. Who was that?
Donna B., Massachusetts.
Gotcha, Donna B. Okay. All right. We've added you to the list. So, yeah, let's stop there, and then we will have plenty of time for more names. I didn't catch all last initials and places where you reside, so if you would just give us those. But I have Elena C., Rachel, Paul R., Christina J., Deborah G., Donna B. So, Elena, you'll start us off and followed by Rachel. Elena, star one.
Good morning. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina. I recovered today. So what I was struck by, it doesn't say nearly all have stopped drinking. It says nearly all have recovered. Because it's for us, it's not about the food. It's about the food, but it's not about the food. It's about really working on the steps and staying in the steps of recovery, staying close to God. And that's how we solve our eating problem, like they say. So I just want to make sure that, you know, to the best of my ability, every morning I wake up in prayer and meditation. I listen to these meetings. I do my 10th step and my 11th step and 12th step. And that's how I stay. That's how I solved my eating problem, because in the past was just getting a diet plan, you know, and being all by myself. But in recovery is I am not all by myself. I have my higher power and I have this community of people that is, they're friendly, they're just loving, compassionate. And then that's how I feel the love of my higher power. And with the love of my higher power, I can extend the love to other people and provide service for people here, for my family, and just have my amazing higher power with me every single day of the week. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Elena C. Rachel, you're up. Please give us your last initials.
Hi, I'm Rachel CV, as in CVS Pharmacy, from New York. I just wanted to share on that last sentence, they solved the drink problem. And just what a powerful statement, you know, and having joined this program in November and quickly worked work the steps with my lovely sponsor, I just want to say it really works. It really works. And it's just such an amazing world on the other side. And it just takes a little bit of willingness, even just an ounce. it takes a lot of work, and it takes a higher power. And I really wish I could have known truly how great it is on the other side before I started. But I just was listening to all these, you know, crazy recovered people that have this joy and this hope and this happiness that honestly I kind of was repelled by, because I was jealous and I was angry with myself. But the moment I just took that step of faith and I said, okay, I'll do step one. All right, time for step two. It just, yeah, I can't explain just the joy and the peace and the happiness that this program has brought me, that my higher power has brought me, that God has shown me through surrendering and letting it all go and trusting that He will remove this problem from me. So I just feel so grateful. And if there's anyone out there who's hesitating, you know, on the steps or not quote unquote ready, you know, I felt like that for a long time, but you're never going to be ready. You just need to make the next right step. And it's not a head decision, it's a heart decision. And you're ready. If you have willingness, you're ready. So I just want to thank everyone for your service. This is Rachel Seavey from New York. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Rachel Seavey from New York. Paul R. from California, you are up. You'll be followed by Christina J.
Good morning, everyone. This is Paul R. From Los Angeles, California. Yeah, thank you for the moderator, and thanks for our leader. It's just, you know, I love starting my day. You know, I starting my day with God, you know, and practicing gratitude and being part of this group, you know, like saying, like, this is my home group, I would say. Attending these meetings like 3-4 times a week, like no matter what. You know, that I really needed to, learn through pain, through that hopelessness, that it's not going to be another diet. I'm not going to be coming because I need to go and because my sponsor is telling me this. You know, and I'm not coming because I just want to lose the weight. And once I get the weight, I can just go back to like 2 meetings and 1 meetings and maybe just no meetings. And the same, it's working with sponsor, you know, but I think the biggest part of my puzzle was missing. That was really the fellowship, like be a part, sharing on a meeting, be seen, speak up and really have the courage to tell, like, you know, what's my weaknesses today. You know, like I haven't, you know, what is mean for me recovering means is that I still work that step 11 and step 10 and really practice like step 12 and I go out and hear and you know, listening other people's shares and maybe let them know, you know, how they doing. Someone new. I just coming back. I got like, I got 28 days of continuous strong abstinence this time. And, you know, like, doing those inventories, like, no matter what, like, my life depends on it. Like, today I can say that, you know, all those commitments that I committed to do in recovery, you know, with Eaters Anonymous, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, is, like, the most important things in my life. Those comes first, and I don't move that order around anymore because I did a couple of times and I learned in a painful way. And, you know, it takes what it takes. And, you know, whoever's out there and just listening, you know, it's, you know, I was listening for quite, like, for 2 years only. I didn't want to go to meetings. And, you know, it's just speak up today. You know, we all want to hear from you and we are all here for you. That are your best. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul R. from California. So if anybody's just joining us, we are on page 17. There is a solution, and just the very first paragraph, we of Alcoholics Anonymous. We have a couple more speakers, and then we'll be taking new names. So think about if you'd like to share. Christina J., you are up, and you'll be followed by Deborah G.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in the state of Washington today. The most important word in here for me is hopeless, because that drives me to a solution. When I find I can't control people, places, or things, before my solution was food, and that became an all-encompassing journey. Most of my life up until a few years ago was an all-encompassing journey to solve the food problem. Today, it sometimes rears its head, but I've got steps and tools. Today, I face hopelessness over life situations, and these steps drove me to the solution for the food. They also, in the midst of getting the solution for the food, they drove me to the solution that solves my other problems, which is God. And, step three gives us a hint of that, of what we're supposed to do. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, and we understood him. It's the only place I have to go. I'm facing a couple of, one challenge I got over, but the next challenge is in my face, and it's been in my face for a while now, and I have to go to God. I have no other place to go but to God. Nothing works. I try to control it. I try to find answers to it. I try to fix it. Nothing. I'm getting silence, and so I have to wait, and I have to have patience. There's no other solution except to praise my Father, to go to him, to know that he's got it, that he's handled everything else in my life. He handled the food, the biggest problem in my entire existence, so I thought. But underneath that food was the bigger problems. And if you're out there taking this journey, do yourself a beautiful favor. Give yourself a blessing and take these steps and get rid of the food so you can begin to dig out the other stuff that will get healed and make you a better person. I'm not going to speak for you, but it's made me a better person. And I go to this power and this grace every day now. I have to crawl. This morning I had to crawl. I was completely overtaken by fear about my current situation. But thanks be to God, because it brings me to him. The pain brings me to him. The hopelessness. I am hopeless in life, really, without this Father. I call him Father. If it offends you, I apologize. But nearly all have recovered. They have solved the drink problem. I particularly don't like they. I think God solves the drink problem. I think he brings us to the solution. Sure, we have to do our part. But today I get to do my part, and it's painful. But as I sit in my chair and I meditate and I get the beautiful readings that I do, and I get the messages from the meetings, and I get the messages from my prayer, and I hear God in my heart saying, I've taken care of you up until now. Why wouldn't I take care of you in the future? I can take a deep breath and relax. So again, give yourself the blessing and the gift of taking these steps. I love you all. I pass.
Thanks, Christina J. from the state of Washington. Deborah G. in Arizona. Come on up, and you'll be followed by Donna D., and then we'll be taking another list of names.
Oh, hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you so much for your service leading us today, and everyone who's making this meeting possible. And I'm just so grateful for this program and those beautiful words in that paragraph. And welcome to any newcomers that are here. I'm so glad that you're here. And I was looking at it from a newcomer perspective, and I was thinking hope. And that's what I was feeling when I first saw that paragraph, and also saw and heard the recovered, the hope that if I have a solution, which that would be the solution, is recovered, that I have something now that I can do about this, because all of my attempts to do this has failed. And just to be open, honest, and willing to to look at what I need to do just by being here, just by listening and deciding what I need to do. It's just a lovely, lovely way to look at what I can do about this. And so I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for that paragraph, and I'm grateful for all of you. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
So thanks for sharing. Deborah G. from Arizona. Donna B., come on up from Massachusetts. And after Donna, we'll take another list of names. Donna, star one.
Hi, this is Donna B. I thought you said Deborah G. That's why I didn't unmute.
Okay. Yeah, you're fine. Deborah just shared. So, Donna, come on up.
Okay.
Unless I'm Donna messed B. up. I think that was Deborah G.
No,
just there.
I'm Donna B. from Massachusetts. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, everyone, for being here for me. This is home. I mean, there is a solution. We found each other. We have this disease. We have to have hopelessness. There's got to be hopelessness and desperation. And that's what I found today. Solving the drinking problem one day at a time. It's never really, if we don't do the work, do the action, we probably would be back there. We have to take direction, follow directions. Doing God's will, not mine. God gives us a spiritual experience. Working the steps, doing meetings, having God in my life gives us that spiritual experience. Giving back what I have been given, and this is by sponsoring, and that's wonderful. So one day at a time, I have a chance, and I'm on my 10th step. Thank you all for being here. Have a good day.
Great. Thanks, Donna B. from Massachusetts. Well, thanks, everybody. Wow. Great shares today. We're going to take another list of names. Just a reminder, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. But I really hope that everybody, feels compelled to at least get in there and say your name. We need all our voices. So who else would like to share?
Gayla. Ronnie B. in Missouri. Gayla S.
Dana, Ronnie, I've got you. Dana,
Jen A. in Colorado.
Jen, got you. Jen A. And who was the other gentleman who came in? Let me tell you who I have, and then you can tell me who I'm. I know I'm missing some folks. Craig F., Ronnie, Dana S., Jen A. Not hearing anybody. Star one if I have missed you or if you want to share.
What are you reading today?
We're on page 17, first paragraph. We of Alcoholics Anonymous. Being off, there is a solution. Great. Let's go with these four, and then we'll see. We should have a little more time. So Craig S., followed
Janet
by
B.
Ronnie. And then, Janet B., we've got you. Okay. Craig, you go ahead, followed by Ronnie, and then Dana, you're coming in right after. Did I not hear Craig? I might not have. All right, let's go to Ronnie, and then we'll see, and I'll swing back around and just see if Craig was there, or unless I have the name wrong, too. Ronnie, are you up?
Yes, good morning, everyone. Ronnie, compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. Thank you, everyone, for your service and your shares. So, so the solution for me naturally resides in the steps. So that is my recovery plan. One of the steps, if not, they're all spiritual, right? But I love the ones that focus me more I'm turning my will and my life over to the care. That's a huge word, care of God as I understand God. And I'm no spiritual wizard, but I do know this. If there's anything going on in my life that I feel like I can't handle or that I'm tempted to do that's not a good thing to do, specifically eating, right? It can be other things, by the way. It could be my attitude. It could be my great big mouth wanting to say stuff to people that I believe they need to hear. God has not told me they need to hear that. That's all me. But I'm focusing just for today on anything I ask God to remove at that moment. If I'm sincere, it'll either be removed, like the compulsion to eat, which I have not done in many years now for me. It may not be many for other people, right? Like I'm starting my seventh year, that seems like a lie. I say that all the time, but it's not. If I'm so tempted and I say, oh God, here it is again, and I'm not tempted every day, nor every week, nor every month, but it crops up. And when it crops up, if I ask God to please, like I need help, I can't do it on my own. Well, I can never do it on my own, but sometimes I'm more aware that I can't. I cannot tell you one time that I've asked for that relief and it has not come. Not even one time. And so I like to practice that principle in all my affairs. So if I'm having company and it's a big holiday, steer away from certain topics. If other people don't steer away, I don't need them to steer away. I need God to help me to steer away and not them. And it can be for anything. My daughter coming over with her boyfriend, she says something I don't like. It's like right on the tip of my tongue to like just charge out with what I think they need to hear. And they don't need to hear anything from me because God has not given me that appointment. Nor do I think he ever will. But truthfully, this is the program that I come to when I want to make sure I keep my abstinence. I want to hear other people. I want to learn from other people. And hopefully someone else will hear at least one thing that helps them. And sometimes the only person that is me. Anyway, great meeting, super great meeting. Thank you. I'll pass.
Great, Ronnie. Thanks so much. Hey, where can you give us last initial and where you're from before you mute?
Oh, sure. Ronnie B. as in boy in Missouri. Thank you.
All right. Ronnie B. from Missouri. Great. And Dana S., you are up, followed by Jen A.
Yes, this is Gayla. It's G-A-Y-L-A, Gayla S., and I live in Los Angeles. I'm so grateful for this beginning of the new week. With the beginning of this chapter, there is a solution. Thank all of you. I thank all of you for your service, your time, your listening ears, all the wisdom I gained through your voices. It has solved the drink problem. It has solved the food problem. It has solved so many problems in the world. For me, it ultimately, essentially, it solves all problems because it's not me solving the problems. It's our higher power. God solves all the problems. And it starts with me coming to the program, working the program. On every level, this program has solved so many problems, and I have full faith that it will continue to solve problems in my life and in the lives of others, the world's problems. On every level, coming to meetings, the boundaries we have in meetings with time limits, with people taking turns, with people listening, not interrupting, that has solved a problem. It's taught me courtesy. It's taught me restraint. The steps have given me freedom. I am free of the food problem right now. I know it's one day at a time. It has solved the problem. I am so free, content. It solves any problem that comes up in my day. I know what to do. I have the tools. I have the big book. I have a higher power above all. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Wow, thanks so much. Gayla S. in California. Thanks for the correction. Jen A., you are up, followed by Janet B.
Good morning, Barbara. Thanks so much for your continued service. This is Jen A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic in Colorado. And there is a solution. There's only one answer is what, you know, the title's telling me. And it says that thousands of men and women who were once just as hopeless as Bill, what happened to them? They recovered. And I love all the shares today. You know, from folks that have been recovered a long time to those who are just working the steps, to those, you know, who are new to finding the solution and seeing that there is hope. Yeah, there is hope. Remember, in the doctor's opinion, what really caught my eye was at the bottom, it says, I personally know scores of cases who are of the type with whom other methods had failed them completely. You know, there's always going to be solutions that are coming out on the market. There's always going to be a solution in a new book that comes out at the first of the year. There's always going to be a new gym program, a new diet pill, potion, you name it. And that was my life and my story for years until I found Overeaters Anonymous. You know, and when I was in the doctor's opinion and I wrote over 65 things of ways I tried to control my eating, I was like gobsmacked. I'm like, I have tried it all. And I had to take the I out of it and put God into it. You know, and I tried with higher power and then it moved to God. And God is really the one that every day removes the need for me to go to the food. Is that ever going to sneak back up on me? Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to have a defense against this. And that one is God. May I find him every single day. May I turn my will and my life, my thoughts and my actions of everything over to him. And I, like another member on the line today, I can identify. I have been through the ringer in the last 3 months as a recovered person, working a solid 12-step program, not eating a bite of my alcoholic foods. And I will just tell you that God is giving me more of a heart like his. I always remember, especially that first paragraph in the doctor's opinion where he says, Bill was hopeless and Bill recovered. In one paragraph, what did he do? He worked the steps and he worked with others. And I just continue to do that. And I'm so grateful for working with others in this program. I give thanks to God and my sponsees right now because reading this over and over and over again and rereading it just drills back the fact that I can't do it on my own. I need something bigger than me. I never could solve the drink problem. I could never solve the eating problem. I still can't solve it today. And my problems are still going to come up that are going to lead me back to the food. See, the food really isn't the problem. It's people, places, and institutions that led me back to the food. So thank you, God, for this 12-step program and this 12-step way of life. There's only one solution. Glad you all are here and we can do it all together. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Jen A. from Colorado. And Janet B., you're up next, and we'll do one more call out for Craig, and then we may be able to take another name or two. Janet B., you're up.
I think you may have thought it was Janet B., but I said Shanna C.
Shanna, you could go for it. I am not hearing today. Oh. Perfect. Shanna.
I was like listening. I was kidding, couldn't wait to hear Janet. So, okay, well, something said no. All right. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive from Tennessee, and grateful to be on the line and grateful to be alive and just connected today. And just, I'm telling you, this is a miracle for my life to have found the solution to this problem. I get a little emotional because it's just such a miracle that I'm not doing what I used to do and thinking how I used to think, feeling how I used to feel, because what happened for me is I was given a gift because 100% of all my problems center in my own mind. And part of the gift and part of the solution is becoming increasingly aware that my problem in every aspect centers in my own mind. And unless and until I become completely aware of that, there is no hope for me. And it's actually the pain of the disease that brought that awareness. It drove me to that state of willingness to be like, what the heck? I've done the work. I've prayed the prayers. I've done the things. I've la, 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 la. Why am I still so miserable? You know, and it's just all of the expectations and the things that pile up, even when you're doing the work. It's quite astonishing. And thank God we're not cured. Because and thank God that becoming more and more aware that this is progressive and fatal, but at the same time, there's a solution. Even though it's progressing, there's still more solution. There's still more God, because I'm the kind of addict and compulsive overeater that the only safe place for someone like me is connected to God, because it's the only one who can give me the amount of more that I need on a daily basis in a safe way. It never runs out. I need a source that never runs out, that continues to provide power, fellowship, love, purpose, all of the things that I've craved my whole life but didn't think were possible for me because I was stuck in self-reliance, because I had a mind that said you can control anything you need to do and it's your responsibility absolutely to take care of yourself 100%. And while living in the pain of that, food became my master. Well, put down the food, I'm not triggering the allergy anymore by those alcoholic ingredients, and I'm still crazy and miserable. What is the problem? It's still my mind. And then without real power, without real connection, without real relationship, which I've always craved but didn't know how to have without these steps, and without coming to realization that there is a God who loves me and will provide, and I can give everything to his care and direction, I didn't know that. I don't know what I don't know until I know what I don't know. And the disease brought me here. Thankfully, the disease, I'm not living in disease, but it's the pain of my own selfishness and self-centeredness that drives me back to the solution. And when I'm living in the solution, the problem is solved. What happens with that is I'm able to connect with the God of my understanding, connect to real power, thank you, and able to easily control the food, provided I follow this few simple rules. I'm recoiling. That's what a recovered person does, recoiling as from a hot flame, doing what I need to do to not pick up that bite. Thank you, God, for the willingness and the ability and the directions on how to do that. That's all I have, and thanks for allowing me to share.
Great. Thanks, Shanna C. So let's see, who else? Was there a gentleman who had wanted to share, either Craig F., someone?
Zach M.?
Okay, you go ahead. Which you're kind of light. I can't quite hear you, but
okay.
Now you're better.
How's this? Is this any better?
Much better.
Thank you
yeah.
for your service. Yes, and thanks everyone for being on this meeting, for sharing. I love the share. They inspired me. I'm Zach M. from Oakland, California, and I am a glutton for pain. Apparently, I've been in OA for over 2 years now, and I had a solid like year and a half of abstinence and neutrality around the food after working the steps. Like my hair was on fire, and something shifted, and for about 6 months I was just white knuckling it. I was doing all the same sort of food rituals that I developed through program, even, you know, weighing and all that jazz, but felt like the disease had hollowed out those rituals from the inside. And I finally broke my abstinence almost deliberately about 4 months ago, a couple of days, just to prove to myself that something had to change. In just a few short months after sort of the dust settled, I reevaluated. I was like, what happened? I wandered into a corner of OA. It's got some strong guardrails around it, which I appreciate. I started coming back to meetings. I started working a strong 10th step. I started praying. And, I'm here to say that has been a spiritual game changer. The food is neutral again, thank God, one day at a time. And I feel right smack dab in the middle of the herd, making 3 program connections a day. Just feeling like I'm a part of instead of apart and away from. And yeah, it's all thanks to this program and to y'all and to God. So thanks for listening. I'm going to keep coming back.
Great. Thanks, Zach M. from California. Glad you joined in. Okay, so we have time for one more share. Who else? Who would like to take us out today?
Kay from Iowa.
Jenny P. from California.
I heard Kay first. Okay, go right ahead.
Go ahead. Okay. Thank you so much for your service and everybody's shares. I didn't think I'd share this morning, but as I was listening to people, I became so grateful that I thought I would share. And mostly I was grateful because, you know, I just the word hope, you see hopeless, and then you see thousands have recovered, have solved the problem. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, when you think about all the problems in the world, even though I struggle and even though there is relapse, which is part of the recovery, I always say every relapse is me being convinced. You know, I'm never a good one to surrender. I have to be convinced, you know, that, oh, yeah, you are one of them, you know, whatever. But or that other stuff that you were doing, it really does work. The spiritual part is very hard. I really do fall in and out of the neutrality. I work with my sponsor on that. But anyway, I'm just so grateful there is a solution. And the whole thing is, no matter where we are in our program, whether it's 30 years of abstinence or we had a slip last week, we belong here. The only qualification is that I have a desire to stop compulsively overeating. And so I'm just so grateful there's a place for me to go. And I'm just so grateful that I get to hear these shares of people that are honestly struggling. There's no saints here, no sinners. It is just a bunch of real people that have this condition, and we are sharing what's worked for us, what doesn't, and all is helpful. So thank you so much. I'm very grateful to be here. That's all. I pass.
Thanks so much. And was that Kay? Did I get that correctly? Can you go back to where you're from?
Yes. Iowa.
Great. And last initial and where you're from. Was it Iowa?
Yeah, Iowa S. S as in like serenity.
Okay, great. Okay, yes. People may want to find us on the. We always ask not to be nosy, but people want to find each other on the list. We're talking about the we, so perfect for today. Some great shares. Thank you so much for everyone who stepped up, and for the great Team Monday that we have, Olympic gold team of volunteers. So bear with me. I will grab my script. We'll now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And we'll ask Robin B. if she would read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only until we keep you until then.
Yes, thank you, moderator. This is Robin B., compulsive overeater, living in recovery one day at a time. Never cured, only a daily reprieve. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.